If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Trade, much in the news. Tariffs, much in the news. I welcome Veronique DeRigi of the Mercatus Center, an economist, who helps me understand these terms of art that are being used routinely in headlines and in lead paragraphs. At the end of the day, we have remarks that are not entirely understandable unless they connect to the turmoil in the markets. I'm not sure, however. Protectionism, I understand. Veronique DeRigi, a very good evening to you, writing most recently at Capital Matters for National Review. You've written of David Ricardo, born 1772, died 1823, an economist. And you write of David Ricardo's comparative advantage, the concept of comparative advantage. How does that connect to Orrin Cass, who is quite proudly a protectionist? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, the reason why I wrote about Ricardo and the title of this article is called Poor Ricardo is because it seemed that in the last few years, no one has talked as much about Ricardo as we have, but usually it's to actually totally distort his view. So, for instance, Orrin Cass talks about the law of comparative advantage, which is this very simple idea, which is even if you're a country that produces everything, it is still in your advantage to trade with others. So you can focus on the goods that where you have the highest advantage and buy from countries that can actually produce that same good at lower price. And they mangle the concept all of the time. But then I felt I had to write about Ricardo again because at a recent interview at the Economics Club in New York, our friend Larry Kudlow was interviewing Secretary of Treasury Scott Bessent, and they talked about the Ricardian equivalent in the context of trade, which is something that actually doesn't exist at all. So I was thinking, oh, what's happening to this poor Ricardo whose ideas are being overused probably and butchered.
I want to stay with David Ricardo then. We'll stay with the 18th, 19th century. David Ricardo was building on the revelations in Adam Smith's book, I believe, who saw an advantage to trade with other countries. Even if you can make your own horseshoes, if somebody makes them better, you go buy from them. And Ricardo built on that. Is that not accepted here in the 21st century? Is that controversial?
Well, it's only controversial with the protectionist who are trying to say, well, it doesn't work. And the Ricardo idea, which is, it's a pure mathematical like evidence that it doesn't work if you have trade deficits. It doesn't work if you have capital flows. It doesn't work. I mean, it works. I mean, this is the reason why you and I go to the grocery store to buy stuff. We could be making all of that stuff ourselves, but it's better when others are doing it better than us, and we can focus on the service industry and buy our goods from people who are better suited to produce it. Basically, there's an advantage to trading with others, even if you could be doing all that stuff yourself. But there's been like it's a big kind of protectionist recurring kind of mistake to try to actually say that this idea is just not valid depending on the different conditions. But
well, then let's move away from the misuse of Mr. Ricardo and Mr. Smith to what we do see today is the talk that trade is dominated by tariffs, reciprocal tariffs. That looks right now to be upsetting everyone. Is there a method to it?
There's the only methods that I see to it is that the president loves tariff. He's loved tariffs. He said that tariffs is the most beautiful word in the English language. He's called himself the tariff man. He loves tariffs. And he thinks that this is kind of an effective way to protect American industries. And it's also a way to get concessions from other countries on things like trade. But also things like stopping drug from crossing our borders. And the problem with the theory is, like, first, you know, tariffs are an import tax. So effectively, you're trying to convince other countries to do stuff that they wouldn't want to do by penalizing your own consumers. But the other thing is, like, something that we know and is very well established is that tariffs very often lead to a trade war, something that we've seen today, right? Trump's tariff on steel and aluminum led to the Europeans say 50% tariffs on American whiskeys. And then Trump threatened with 200% on wines from Europe. And that's how it goes. And meanwhile, everyone is hurt, and it doesn't work well. I mean, McKinley, who seems to be someone that the president really admires, President McKinley got out of his protectionist phase by saying that trade wars are not worth it, and I just hope that this president is going to learn this lesson. It's not to say that he's not. There's not things, right, that we it would be really great if there were no tariffs anywhere. The problem is, like, I don't know that actually imposing tariffs is, I mean, in fact, I know that it's not the good way to go about it and achieve this. We got this and we learned this from the first Trump administration, where there were a lot of tariffs and we didn't end up with lower tariffs across the board. We ended up with higher tariffs across the board.
The tariffs are a source of income for states, correct?
No, it's federal. They're federal. They're a small portion of our tax revenue, right? And so the president also says he would like to remove the income tax, which would be a great idea, and to replace it with tariffs. The problem is that trade is actually a much smaller portion of the economy than people think. It's about 20% of our GDP. And so the level of tariffs that you would actually need to be able to replace the income tax, which is a very distortive tax, is stuff like rates of 150%. It would just destroy everything. So it's not a good way to go about removing the income tax.
And then my amateur reading of what's going on right now is that it's not going to make any progress whatsoever. There are tariff talk floating back every morning, and it hasn't changed the picture. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, it hasn't changed. It really hasn't.
And therefore, why are they doing this? Is it some sort of demonstration of authority? What does it achieve?
I think this is the problem with the trade war, right? It's like, when you started, where do you end it? Do you end it by saying, well, this hasn't worked, let's go back to where we were? I don't know. This is the problem. It's like, if it's about flexing your muscles, if you want to save face, how do you stop the war? I mean, I don't know. I guess we're about to learn how it works.
Veronique Duregy of the Mercatus Center.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.